Paul, tell me, you know, Mark, you're full of it, and Mike, you're full of it too, and give us a third view. This is your show as well. And I really want to encourage you to join in, because interactive television is extremely rare today. We're bringing a little bit of talk radio to television, so agree or disagree, we want to encourage you to call in. If, though, by the way, you don't like to call in, you don't like your voice heard on TV, maybe you don't want to confront Mike or me directly, there is another option. You can dial into the internet. Go to www.radioinsidescoop.com. At the bottom of every show, there's a blog. And you can click there, add your comments, talk with other people on the blog. Let's make this a good discussion. It's your show. 877-528-TALK. We'll be right back with the Inside Scoop right after this.
Following the tragic events of September 11th, there have been hundreds of violent attacks against innocent Americans.
Remember what that flag you're waving stands for.
Remember, please stop the hate.
We're stronger when we are united.
Remember.
Remember what that flag you're waving stands for. One nation.
Under God.
Indivisible.
With liberty.
And justice.
For all.
In America, there's either room for everyone, or it's not America.
Don't pick the wrong fight.
Let's keep America land of the free.
Stop the hate.
I helped turn my child's public school into one with extended hours, 6 days a week, year-round, filled with loads of academic, cultural, and recreational activities. One with medical and dental services right there. A school where students are excited about learning. There's just one problem. My child doesn't ever want to come home. Turn your school into a community school for excellence. Find out how. Call 1-877-LOVE-TO-LEARN.
And now, from Washington, the Inside Scoop. All the news the government does not want you to hear. Now, here's your host on the Inside Scoop, Mark Levine.
Good evening, America. Welcome to the Inside Scoop. I am your host, Mark Levine, former congressional attorney, bringing you all the news from Washington the government does not want you to know. Our Debate Tuesday format got so popular that we've moved some of it to Mondays. This is a show that's not only heard on radio, it's televised in Northern Virginia, and there are a lot of issues to discuss. There's the recess appointment of John Bolton by the president. There is also the nomination of John Roberts to the Supreme Court, and an article in the Washington Post today on how Roberts wanted to cut back on certain civil rights. I want to talk about that. I want to talk about a bill that just passed the Senate that would restrict lawsuits against gun manufacturers, and in general about pork in Congress, specifically that in the energy bill that was just passed. And I'm always wanting to talk about Tradergate, about Karl Rove, Scooter Libby. What did they know? When did they know it? What did the president know? When did he know it about outing a CIA agent as a political dirty trick? To give the other side to some of these stories, although he may agree with me on some of them, we'll see, is my guest today, Mike Lane. He's a frequent guest here on the Inside Scoop. He's the president of Intellifant Strategies, a consulting firm that helps get Republicans elected. And he also happens to be the only Republican in 30 years, plus years, I've just learned today, to be elected from a very Democratic area, Arlington County, Virginia. Mike Lane, welcome again to the Inside Scoop.
Thank you, Mark. It's a pleasure to be here. Thanks for inviting me.
Let me deal with these issues one by one. Let's start with John Bolton. It's very interesting to me that Bush gave the recess appointment. Of course, he's been threatening to do it for some time. It doesn't really surprise me. But it seems to me that now we've got a man that's going to be our ambassador in the United Nations for 1 year, year and a half, until his recess appointment ends. And the whole world knows that half of America, at least, doesn't trust him. I actually think it's more than half, because we even had Republicans like Voinovich say that this is not a guy to be trusted. The Democrats wanted to get materials on him to find out all he had done. We know that he tried to fire people, for example, who didn't give his view of the intelligence. They were the intelligence analysts. They analyzed it. They said it's this way. He says, nope, you change that. You reflect what I say or you're fired. This is a guy who the Democrats have made clear they don't trust. Many Republicans don't trust him either. It seems to me, at a time when the United Nations needs reform, and I'll be the first to admit there's a lot of reform needed in the United Nations, to send up a man that really Americans have said, at least half of us, we don't trust this guy, we don't like this guy. It's a great way for people who don't want reform at the UN, whether it be the Europeans or the UN bureaucracy, to say, you know what, John, that's really nice. We'll wait until 2007 where we can get a real American representing all of America and not just a political hack like you. I mean, the president has every constitutional right to do a recess appointment, but I think that he's set up for failure.
Well,
you agree?
I don't agree, Mark, and I'll tell you why. First of all, I don't think you can count on the fact that he's only there until January of 2007. The president has every right to name him acting ambassador or acting permanent representative or whatever the correct title is at that time, as previous presidents have done for recess appointees that were not confirmed in the interim. It's quite possible that the Senate may confirm him in the interim. We don't know what the Senate's going to do on that. I guess it'll depend somewhat on what his performance of duties are while he's in the UN. But what struck me about this story today was really the muted reaction from Capitol Hill on the recess appointment. And that may be because there was a lengthy telegraphing of the president's intention to members of the Senate that he was going to do this over the past several weeks. So it came as a surprise and a shock to no one. We all knew that it was going to take place. John Bolton would appear to be exactly the right guy at the right time. When I read all the reactions from members of the Senate who issued their press releases, and it was compiled into an article, it struck me that none of them were following your particular argument tonight, which is that, you know, he may have tried to get somebody fired or he may have tried to change intelligence estimates. All of them just said, gee, this guy's a real schmuck. You know, he's not going to make it in the UN. He's just not a diplomat, and so he shouldn't be there. That was what I read on this whole thing.
I happen to think he's a schmuck, but that's not the reason why he wasn't confirmed. The reason why he wasn't confirmed, as you well know, is because the White House refused to turn over documents showing his interaction with these intelligence analysts. The comment about getting fired, I have to tell you, I saw Chris Dodd make exactly mm-hmm. this argument, Senator Dodd, that this is a guy who tried to get people fired who didn't agree with him. And it seems to me that the reason the reaction is muted, one is because Congress is in recess, but the other reason I think is that there's a clear pattern here. And we've seen it time and time and time again. Intelligence comes in, and the president doesn't like the intelligence. The intelligence says Iraq doesn't have weapons of mass destruction, Cuba is not a threat, the threat comes from North Korea. He doesn't like the intelligence, so he says, no, you write, forget the facts, as the Downing Street memo said. You need to change the facts to fit our predetermined policy, and if you don't do it, you're fired. And we've seen that with Bolton, we've seen that with George Tenet, we've seen that with the Downing Street memo time and time again. I think at this point, Americans are used to the fact that this is a president who manipulates intelligence to get what he wants.
Well, first of all, I'll resist the temptation now to spend the rest of the programming rebutting the Downing Street memos, but if you'll promise me an opportunity to come back at a later time and we can spend a lot of time on that, have I seen a more discredited piece of paper
really?
In
you
my life.
You think the Downing Street memo is discredited? I haven't heard that before.
Well, as I'll tell you in 15 seconds,
okay.
You can rebut it, then we'll go back to the real thing. Producer, the person who found or had or showed us the Downing Street memos, couldn't put his hand on the originals. All he had was retyped replicas.
All right, Mike, we're going to get back to this after the break. If you want to join in, 877-528-TALK, 877-528-8255. We'll be right back.
Mr. DeBruzzo, I'm Ed McMahon, and we're signing up people for...
Yes,
I am. Yeah. Mr. Murphy, Ed McMahon, we're starting up... No,
woo!
No.
Dreams
no.
really do
be
come
it,
true.
Be it
the... Open it, dinero. Dinero.
No. No
time. Yes,
Ed McMahon, see.
Ed McMahon.
Yes, Ed McMahon. We're having our first
Ed
ever...
Ed McMahon.
Yes. Tuesday night at the high school. We're starting up the Neighborhood Watch in this area, and here's all the information.
Stevie, get down here, please.
No, he's just here. It's just...
5, 6, 7, 8.
No tango, Danelle. Neighborhood Watch. We're having this Neighborhood Watch, the first one.
Right.
I'll come back.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. Thank you.
Start a Neighborhood Watch. It's just one of the many ways you can help make America stronger. To find out how, call or log on for this free guide.
When I was young, my dad always told me to dream big and dream often.
My mom and dad were always my biggest cheerleaders.
I've been very fortunate to have parents that care, but some kids aren't so lucky.
That's why the Major League Baseball players trust for children.
Same with Volunteers of America, to help kids everywhere.
For more
more than 100 years, Volunteers of America has helped children, families, and many others rebuild their lives.
Our Share with a Child partnership wants you to give kids your time, guidance, and support.
Let's work together to give every child a chance. Find out how you can help a child dream big.
Call 1-800-899-0089 or visit volunteersofamerica.org.
From Washington, more of the Inside Scoop with Mark Levine.
Welcome back to the Inside Scoop. Today is Debate Monday. Congress is in recess, but the debate goes on over all kinds of things. The Bolton nomination, John Roberts' nomination, the bill to protect gun manufacturers who really need protection, the Republicans say, all the pork and energy bill, and whatever you want to talk about. 877-528-TALK, 877-528-8255. My guest is Mike Lane, the president of Intelligence Strategies, and just going to the break, he was attacking the Downing Street memo. Now, I hadn't heard this attack before, I have to say. Most of you know what that is. It's actually, the Downing Street memo is probably best expressed as the Downing Street minutes. What it was were the minutes taken by a British foreign officer at a meeting with George Bush as they planned the war for Iraq. And in the memo, it says many interesting things. If you haven't read it, I highly suggest you do. There's a link on my website at radioinsidescoop.com. But perhaps the most controversial is where it said that the Bush administration determined to go to war, but the facts and intelligence weren't supporting that decision. They showed that Iraq didn't have weapons of mass destruction. In fact, the countries we had to be scared about, we still do, I should say, are North Korea and Iran. But the Bush administration, the memo said, fixed the facts and intelligence around the policy. They determined to go to war, so they changed the intelligence to fit what happened. There are some of us, in other words, who make decisions by looking at all the intelligence, looking at the evidence, and then deciding. There are others of us, notably the Bush administration, that decides what to do first and then fixes the facts later to justify that decision. That's exactly what the Downing memo said. Now, Mike Lane, going into break, suggested the Downing Street memo is what, a fake, a forgery? Is that your suggestion?
There is absolutely no reason to believe that they're true. The person who produced the Downing Street memo, the reporter or whoever it was, produced a retyped version of it and said that the reason it was a retyped version was because he didn't want to be caught with the originals. So he retyped it and destroyed the originals. He confessed to destroying them. I mean, shades of Dan Rather. What's this all about?
Mike, there's an individual who wrote the memo. He's still alive.
Right.
He isn't dead. He lives in Great Britain.
Right.
Here's the question. Have you seen, because I haven't, any denial by this individual, by Tony Blair, by anyone in the British government, that this is an authentic memo?
I haven't seen it. I haven't seen them confirm it's authentic.
Okay. Well, you know, there's a memo. It comes out. Don't you think if it weren't true, the Blair administration, which is, after all, the lapdog of President Bush, as they say in Great Britain, don't you think Tony Blair would say, excuse me, this isn't real. This is a forgery.
Well, I'll have you, just note for the record that the lapdog, which I think Tony Blair is his own man, was reelected by wide margins just a very short time ago.
38%.
So,
apparently the conservatives were even worse. In Britain, unfortunately, that was the choice. He's the liberal in Great Britain.
He is. He's part of the Liberal Party,
exactly.
Right?
Exactly. And so apparently they like the Conservatives even worse in Great Britain. But the point I'm making is that this seems to be a pattern in the Bush administration. If you lie about intelligence, you are rewarded. George Tenet saying it was a slam dunk. All right, he was given the Medal of Freedom, a slam dunk, mm-hmm. the Iraqi weapons of mass destruction. Condoleezza Rice, that went on TV and said, we have to fear a nuclear cloud coming from Iraq. She was rewarded, Secretary of State. John Bolton, who tried to fire people for trying to tell the truth about intelligence, he's rewarded. We have Karl Rove and Scooter Libby, who are spreading dirty tricks about Joe Wilson because he's telling the truth. It seems to me there's a sure way to getting in trouble in the Bush administration, and that is telling the truth. But if you lie in support of the administration's policies, you're going to be rewarded.
You have a strange idea, Mark, of what a reward is. Let's take a look at George Tenet. Now, you say he was rewarded with a Medal of Freedom.
Right.
It seems to me he paid for that mistake with his job.
Not according to George Bush.
He was DCI, Director of Central Intelligence,
right.
And then he was unemployed.
Okay.
That's a pretty high price to pay.
According to George Bush. Now, maybe the president's lying here. You'll have to tell me.
I have a hard time
understanding the difference between Bush's lies and Bush's lies. It all depends on what the definition definition of crime is, apparently, in Tradergate, because, you know, first Bush says, I'm going to fire anyone involved in this, and then he's like, oh, Rove's involved? Oh, well, I'll only fire him after he's frog marched to jail and imprisoned, because, but what Bush said is that, no, Tenet was an American hero, and he gave us the best intelligence, and there are no problems at all, and here's the Medal of Freedom, the highest civilian honor we can give. They're giving it to Tenet, and Tenet is just retiring to be with his family. Why can't Bush tell us the truth?
Mark,
if Tenet screwed up, why can't Bush say, you know what, George Tenet, you're an honorable servant, you did not give us the right intelligence, I'm going to have to let you go. Wouldn't an honorable man say that?
In private industry and in government, as somebody is either being kicked upstairs or kicked out, they always get a nice pat on the back and sometimes a gold watch, in this case a medal. You don't need to destroy someone just because they've done a lousy job. George Tenet paid for it with his job. We all know that he would dearly love to be director of Central Intelligence still. He's not. He's gone. He's out.
Mike, I would suggest to you John Bolton was kicked upstairs. That when he was the Undersecretary of State for Arms Control, he got in a lot of trouble with, among others, Condoleezza Rice. Let me give you an example.
Well, Condoleezza Rice seems to be supporting his nomination for the United Nations
Condoleezza Rice, can she say no? Colin Powell said no, but he's out of office. Condoleezza Rice, Secretary of State, can say, you know what, I disagree with my president. I think he made a lousy decision. Let's talk about something that John
Bolton did. I don't think anybody says that Condi Rice is anybody's lapdog. I think
she's not?
No, she gives the president... She gives the president
really?
Hard, okay. Cold, honest advice.
Tell me where she's disagreed with the president. Give me all those off times.
Well,
where?
Obviously, as you know, you don't do it in public, Mark.
Okay.
You do it in private.
And if she doesn't like John Bolton, which is what everyone's saying...
She would have veto power over this particular nomination if she wanted it.
I don't think so. I don't think so at all. Let me tell you something else I know about John Bolton, then I'm going to go to the phones. I read the other day, very interesting, in our Libya policy, one of the things that Bush has proclaimed is because of the war with Iraq... Gaddafi turned over his weapons and doesn't have them anymore. What's interesting is that when you read what John Bolton's role was in that decision, first of all, you have the Italians and the French catching Libya in the act. Not us. I wish we had, but they caught Libya in the act. And then you had Libya saying, all right, we'll give up the weapons if we can stay in power.
Mm-hmm.
John Bolton said, No, we're not going to let you stay in power. We hate your regime. And I'll admit, Gaddafi's got an awful regime. We're going to do the same thing we did in Iraq. Just as Saddam Hussein said, we'll let the inspectors in if you let us stay in power. And Bush said, no, we want you out of power. Bolton said the same thing with Libya. And it's only when the British pressed very hard, Bolton got kicked out of the rooms. Got kicked out because I think that most of us understand, and I want to hear your views on this after the break, and I'll get to my calls too, but most of us understand you can't invade every evil country on earth. There are lots of horrible countries. Libya and Iraq are some of them. Iran and North Korea are worse.
Korea.
China, for example, is an awful country. Tiananmen Square. I can name a whole bunch of countries. Sudan. We can think many. Saudi Arabia. But sometimes, in order to stop weapons of mass destruction, you have to make deals with these people in order to stop the weapons, to put inspectors in, like Clinton did in Korea. And John Bolton, it seems to me, is just the wrong kind of person to be in the United Nations now to deal with renegade countries like North Korea and Iraq. I know you want to respond. I will give you a chance to respond. I promise, right after this break, the toll-free number is 877-528-TALK, 877-528-8255. We'll be right back after this.
The most famous television document.
This is Mommy's bed. Me and Jenny were jumping on it. Mommy's gun fell on the floor. I was a cowboy. Bang, 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 bang. I said, Jenny, wake up, wake up. It's just pretend. But she wouldn't wake up.
If you give me a fish...
If you give someone a fish...
You feed them for a day.
Teach someone to fish.
You feed them for a lifetime.
Give me a fish, and you'll feed me for a day. Teach me to fish, and you'll feed me for a lifetime.
Through Volunteers of America, you can help change lives in your community.
Oh,
Hey, mister, studied algebra in school and got a better job than I could. You take the last call.
No, mister, stuck in an entry-level job because you only learned basic math. I don't have a boss riding my butt like you do, so you take it so you can get back to your desk.
You know, I probably should, but maybe Miss AP Calculus with the $200 haircut in the big office upstairs would like a cup.
Oh, no, mister. What was your name again? Never mind, it doesn't matter. I'm too busy doing important things to care. I just came down for some sweetness, sir.
You know, if my limited math abilities weren't keeping me from getting a better job, I'd quit this afternoon.
I don't blame you. But thank goodness you're stuck here because we really need someone to make the coffee.
From Washington, back to the Inside Scoop with Mark Levine.
Welcome back to the Inside Scoop. This is Debate Monday. All topics are fair. 877-528-8255. Before the break, I kind of laid into John Bolton. I'm going to give Mike Lane a chance to respond. The heart of my point, though, is that this is a guy, I'm actually glad he's a recess appointment. Far better than being approved by the Senate, because that way the world understands we don't all support this extremely aggressive mentality. Only a few of us do, and that way the world can understand they really shouldn't take John Bolton seriously. Wait till 2007, and then we'll have a representative there that America supports. But I know, Mike, you want to respond.
Well, a couple things. Number one, it's been alleged that John Bolton goes to the UN as damaged goods. I actually have a contrary view on that. I think he goes from a position of strength, whereas had he been confirmed by the Senate, he's got masters to please all over. Now we know he is the president's pick. There was no compromise done. He goes there with the president's full faith and confidence, and he's there to do the president's bidding. You could not be in a stronger position as a diplomat to do that. Secondly, with regard to the UN, and I'll do this shortly, the time for diplomatic niceties at the UN is over. Perhaps after we go through the reform period, things like that, there will be a time to send up another person who does the nice things, who plays the game that way, who does the diplomatic things. But right now, we need somebody who's going to go up there and kick you-know-what and take names and work it. And I think that John Bolton's the right guy. Finally, Kofi Annan, in his statement today, and, you know, you ask me, well, why can't, if they really mean to say something nasty, why can't they say something nasty? Why do they have to be nice? Kofi Annan today, who's, you know, known as an honest guy, said that he looks forward to welcoming Mr. Bolton in a period of reform and looks forward to having his views heard and held sway.
I read Kofi Annan's statement. He said, we welcome John Bolton just as we welcome every not person always nominated as ambassador to the United Nations.
Right.
In other words, we welcome the Iraqi and the North Korean ambassador, and Kim Jong-il has as much credibility as George Bush. Yes, it was faint praise. Let me go to the phones. I got Keith from Fairfax, Virginia. Keith, welcome to the Inside Scoop.
Thank you. Actually, this is a question for Mike. Do you really feel that John Bolton is qualified for the position? I mean, there is clear evidence that he cannot be trusted.
Absolutely, I do, Keith, and I thank you for your question. I thank you for calling in. Yes, this is a time for someone to go up to the United Nations to rattle the cage, so to speak. We don't need anybody who's going to go up there and play the diplomatic niceties and someone who's going to play the game and someone who's going to talk and diplo-speak and things like that. We need someone who's going to go up there and say, Mr. Secretary General, the time for this game is over. The fraud, the corruption has ended.
That wasn't Keith's point.
No.
Keith's point is that he couldn't be trusted.
Well, he can be trusted, and this is what he's going to do. He's going to make sure that offers like Donald Trump's, when they're looking at a $1.5 billion renovation to all the facilities up there because they're giving it to all their favorite contractors and stuff like that, and everybody's making a billion bucks on the whole thing, he's going to make sure that an offer like Donald Trump's, who comes in and says, I can do this thing first class for $700 million, that kind of offer is going to receive serious consideration, and he's going to save the taxpayers $800 million on that issue alone.
I think we could have somebody who's trusted, who goes in and still takes names, if you will. We can all agree we don't want UN corruption, but it's one thing to have someone who's just out there, like Paul Volcker or someone like that, who is very tough, and the UN food, oil for food program, someone who can be tough on the UN, but at the same time isn't known for firing people who tell him the truth.
Volker whitewashed the food for oil program. He exonerated the Secretary General when now it looks like the Secretary General was in deep as his son was on
now
the whole thing.
Are you challenging Volker's credibility on this?
I certainly am.
Keith, I want you to hang on, if you will. We've got to take a break, but I definitely want to give you a chance to respond back to what Mike and I have to say. Will you hang on for me?
Yeah, sure.
Terrific. If you want to call in, it's easy to do, folks. Just pick up the phone and dial 877-528-TALK, 877-528-8255. What do you think about the Bolton nomination? Or did you read in today's Washington Post about John Roberts and how he was trying to cut back 25 years ago on civil rights? Do you think he'd do the same now? What about the legislation to protect gun manufacturers? It's all on the table. Pick up the phone, dial in 877-528-8255. We'll be right back after this.
You've probably heard about heart disease, but did you know that it's the number one killer of women nationwide? Some of these women may have it and not even know it. Heart disease claims more lives each year than breast cancer, lung cancer, or strokes combined. But there are steps you can take to protect yourself against it. While not smoking, daily exercise, and a nutritious diet are good for your health, they're critical in the fight against heart disease. Most important, get regular checkups and ask your doctor about risk factors, especially if you're over 40, when the risk of heart disease increases dramatically. For more information on how you can prevent heart disease, contact your local American Heart Association or visit their website at www.americanheart.org. It's never too late to protect your heart health. Start now.
Magellan!
Magellan? No. Well, who knows what Magellan did?
Sail around the world!
Right! Now.
Sometimes, a child who doesn't seem interested is really a child with a speech or hearing problem.
Blackbeard? Who said Blackbeard? And what did Blackbeard do?
He was a pirate!
Time and again, it's been shown that a young student's ability to read and learn begins with speech and language and hearing skills.
Jamie, are you with us? Who can tell us?
He wanted to go to India.
Many communication disorders can be detected early and corrected, so learning and literacy skills can develop normally. Make sure your child has the speech, language, and hearing abilities to keep up in class. For more information, visit ASHA.org. A public service message from the American Speech Language Hearing Association and this station.
For a new route to
Asia.
Good.
They came from every corner of the country. From small towns and big cities. But they all shared one thing in common. They belonged to a family called Marines. A tough and determined few, dedicated to protecting everything we hold sacred. And still they come. Celebrate the history of those proud few who have earned the title Marine.
The People's Pharmacy Radio Network.
From Washington, more of the Inside Scoop with Mark Levine.
Mark Levine, my guest is Mike Lane, the president of Telefint Strategies. We've got a new listener on the line, Keith from Fairfax. Keith was talking. Oh, did we lose Keith?
Sorry, Mark.
Oh, I guess we did. All right, let's go to Dave from Northern California. Dave, welcome to the Inside Scoop.
Mark, Mike Lane, I don't know how you guys do this. I think, you know, any objective effort to look at what we have for government right now, you have to see it, the most deceitful, the most dangerous, corrupt, dishonest, exploitive government that we could ever fear to have. I think there'd been a plan right from the day one in PNAC to invade Iraq. They tried to twist and distort everything to justify doing it. Condoleezza Rice shows up at a 9/11 hearing with 58 warnings, some of them very clear in her hand, saying, if we had any clue that planes could be used as missiles, we would have moved heaven and earth to that kind of thing. John Bolton now is going to show up at the United Nations with his middle finger in the air saying, yeah, we're in illegal wars. What are you guys going to do about it? You know, that's what he's there to do, reform. My God, how do you do it?
I mean, how do you reform just by shouting obscenities? That seems to be John Bolton's tactic.
Well, I doubt that he's going to be screaming obscenities.
I don't know. He's in the middle
of the Security Council circle. I hope not.
I mean, right. With John Bolton, I wonder. He's a loose cannon.
In fact, I'll personally email and tell him to tone it down
please,
if he does.
Please do. Will you do that, Mike? Go ahead, answer
Dave, let me ask you. You came out with a very nice alliteration of dishonest, deceitful, something else, et cetera. Let's focus on one particular aspect of the government that you'd like us to respond to.
He said the fact that they planned the war with Iraq in advance, which Paul O'Neill, the Treasury Secretary, no mm-hmm. one disputes, and in January 01, the president got together, divided up the Iraqi oil fields long before, and then later on came with this post hoc justification that, oh, it's about weapons of mass destruction, oh, it's about 9/11. That both turned out to be false. I mean, Dave, is that the main point you want to make, or is there something else?
There is so damn much that's coming at us from this crooked, deceitful, dangerous government that it's just named one thing after another. Yes, you've laid out enough to have him deal with. That's great.
Okay, Mike, what about that?
Dave, first of all, let's talk about war planning. I happen to have personal experience in this. I had a career as a Marine Corps reservist after I did 3 or 4 years of active duty. And I worked in the plans department at Headquarters Marine Corps for about 13, 14 years. There are plans and there have been plans forever for going into any country you want, particularly over in the Middle East. When you talk about, a plan from the beginning to invade Iraq, in fact, there have been plans to go into Iraq on the shelf for 50 years. There have been plans to go into Iran. I could tell you exactly where in Iran we'd land if we were going to, but it's classified information. I can't tell you. All these things have been there. Yes, they were updated, as they are always updated, but perhaps there was some urgency this time. I don't think you can say that during the campaign there was a secret plan that, okay, we're elected, we're going to Iraq. I just don't buy that.
Here's the problem. We face real dangers in this world. I know you know this. Osama bin Laden and al-Qaeda are still loose doing things out of Afghanistan, out of Pakistan. A lot of it's coming from Saudi Arabia. North Korea developed nuclear weapons under this president's watch because he didn't want to deal with Kim Jong-il because he's a bad guy. Mm-hmm. He is a bad guy. But Iran and North Korea are developing nuclear weapons. And now, here's my fear. I think the president has cried wolf, like the old story says. Iraq has nuclear weapons. Iraq has nuclear weapons. They didn't. He lied. No one trusts him. We went to war with Iraq. Now we do have vicious dictatorships developing nuclear weapons. And instead of working to stop them, people are like, oh, well, there goes Bush again. What? The studies I've seen have suggested that a terrorist can get nuclear weapons. It's a 30% chance, according to a study that was commissioned by Senator Lugar, so there's no Democrat here. There's a 30% chance that a terrorist will detonate a nuclear weapon in 10 years. That's a very, very scary thing. And yet, when we had a bill in Congress to buy up loose nukes in the former Soviet Union, Bush didn't want it. He was too focused on his tax cuts. I'm concerned that this whole sideshow in Iraq is not just killing thousands of Americans. It's not just killing tens of thousands of Iraqis. But is actually making America less safe by not focusing on the real enemies that are out there.
Well, first of all, going back to Iran, I think it's very clear. No one disputes. I haven't heard you dispute. Maybe you will dispute that Iraq did have weapons of mass destruction.
Before Clinton destroyed them, yes.
Well, no, Clinton didn't destroy them. It was required that that Saddam himself would destroy them, and it was required that he would provide the evidence and the documentation that he did destroy them. Maybe he destroyed them, maybe he shipped them out, maybe he did something else with them. It's clear now that they're not real visible and handy in the country, but we don't know where they went, and there was no documentation as to what happened to them. So
we do know that after the embassy bombings, Bill Clinton knew all the places where the UN inspectors had found weapons of mass destruction, mm-hmm. and he sent cruise missiles in every one last one of those depots. Okay? Now, did Clinton get them all? I think he probably did, but we had inspectors that went out afterwards to look for them. They couldn't find them. The American inspectors couldn't find them. Iraq is WMD free. If there's some vial somewhere of anthrax hidden underground, that's possible. But my point is we face real great threats in North Korea, Iran, Saudi Arabia, Afghanistan.
Agreed.
That aren't being addressed while we're busy footing
Agreed.
Out this mosquito.
Well, you can't tell me that they're not being addressed. We know just in the last two or three days there's been a major breakthrough in Korea, where Korea is getting ready to sign the final document. They're at this point negotiating the final dotting of each I and the crossing of each T on the document in the six-party talks that the Bush administration always insisted on without unilateral talks, and Korea has finally come to the table and agreed to sign on the dotted line. This is major progress.
I would argue that Korea is something that could have been done 4 years ago. 4 years ago, Kim Jong-il said, if you promise a non-aggression pact against North Korea, we'll get rid of our nuclear weapons. He said this 4 years ago. He said it in 01, he said it in 02, while the president was busy calling him, you know, this tyrant pygmy, which he is a tyrant pygmy. I'll grant you that. He's an awful, awful person. He starved millions in North Korea.
Now you're sounding like John Bolton.
But that's true. But just because people are evil doesn't mean that sometimes we can't contain them. We contain the Soviet Union. You know, all the people who are praising Ronald Reagan for ending communism, Ronald Reagan didn't invade Moscow. We contained the Soviet Union. Mm-hmm. Iraq was completely contained. We can contain North Korea, but we can't throw up our hands, say they're evil, and invade every one of them.
Well, in fact, though, now it does look like North Korea is going to do what
they should
do.
I think the president may be coming around to what John Kerry suggested he do in the campaign.
We know that last year Libya did give theirs up. Now, there's a different scenario for different people. We can disagree as to how it happened, but Libya gave up their program, and Iran is next. And we're focusing on Iran.
It's the extent that we've had successes. It's because we're getting away from PNAC, getting away from the neocons. And that's a good thing, and I'll grant you that it is. I want to go to the caller, though.
All right.
We've got Don from Atlanta, Georgia. Don, welcome to the Inside Scoop.
Hey, Mark. I'd like to ask your guest something. I understand that we have plans to invade, you know, just about every country that could be a threat. But do we have plans to subdivide the oil fields amongst private big oil companies, which Dick Cheney fought all the way to the Supreme Court and won that case to hide that?
Well, if we do, they're classified above my level. I did not see them over at headquarters, Marine Corps, when I was working there.
Well, they're not classified. You can go to Judicial Watch, which is the legal firm that impeached Bill Clinton, and they're the ones that, to their credit, that carried this lawsuit forward. And they had the maps on their website. Somehow they got leaked, and they're on there where we were going to go in there. When Dick Cheney went to work for Halliburton, that was a clear signal at some point when Republicans get back in power, we're going to invade an oil-rich Arab nation, which we did. And also on Libya, and I've read pretty carefully about Libya. Libya saw a chance to get the economic sanctions off them, to give up the WMDs they might have had to do nothing for them. So it was an economic reason they gave up the WMDs, not that they were so worried about Washington throwing their weight around. It was a good deal for them. And their economy has improved since then because now they can trade with a lot more people without the sanctions. And I've got one point I'd like to make about John Bolton.
All right. Okay, go ahead, then we're going to take a break.
Okay, I made this prediction before. Nobody believes it. But John Bolton is in the UN. One main reason is when George Bush starts bombing those nuclear outposts somewhere in Iran, which he said on his watch there will be no, Iran will not get nuclear weapons. And I'm not saying we're going to invade. We may bomb an outpost. We may blockade their ports. But he wants John Bolton in there to handle the fire when that happens. And I predict within 60 days we will bomb some outpost in Iran. And let's not forget, Sharon said if we don't do it, he will. So George Bush has got Bolton in place now, and you can get ready for that.
Well, Don, that's a heck of a prediction. We have to take a break. If you want to call in, 877-528-TALK, 877-528-8255. We'll be right back after this.
If you've got kids...
This is Mommy's bed. Me and Jenny were jumping on it. Mommy's gun fell on the floor. I was a cowboy. Bang, 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 bang. I said, Jenny, wake up, wake up. It's just pretend. But she wouldn't wake up.
If you give me a fish...
If you give someone a fish...
You feed them for a day.
teach someone to fish.
You feed them for a lifetime.
Give me a fish, and you'll feed me for a day. Teach me to fish, and you'll feed me for a lifetime.
Through Volunteers of America, you can help change lives in your community.
Oh, hey, mister. Studied algebra in school and got a better job than I could. You take the last cup.
Oh, no, mister. Stuck in an entry-level job because you only learned basic math. I don't have a boss riding my butt like you do, so you take it so you can get back to your desk.
You know, I probably should, but maybe Miss AP Calculus with the $200 haircut in the big office upstairs would like a cup.
Oh, no, mister. What was your name again? Never mind, it doesn't matter. I'm too busy doing important things to care. I just came down for some sweet nectar.
You know, if my limited math abilities weren't keeping me from getting a better job, I'd quit this afternoon.
I don't blame you. But thank goodness you're stuck here because we really need someone to make the coffee.
From Washington, back to the Inside Scoop with Mark Levine.
Welcome back to the Inside Scoop. My producer tells me that some of you have called in and were afraid I wouldn't let you on because you have certain political views. Let me make clear, everyone is allowed to call in and say your two cents on the Inside Scoop. I may not agree with you, but you have a right to be heard. 877-528-TALK, 877-528-8255. I want to move on off John Bolton because I want to talk about the other nomination that the president has, and that is of John Roberts to be a Supreme Court justice. And I have not expressed a view on John Roberts. I believe we need to see all he's written. We need to review it. Up until now, I haven't seen anything that's truly awful about him, but I am concerned by what I read in today's Washington Post. And that is about some of the stances that Roberts took in the Reagan administration on civil rights. And one, I'll give you a few of them. One is that he wanted to make it harder for people to sue states for civil rights violations. He wanted, in a case of men and women in prison, he said that in terms of training programs, job training programs, that you don't have to give equality between men and women. You can offer some to men and not offer some to women. That, you know, it's too expensive to treat men and women equally. We don't have to do that. One of the things that was most extreme, I think, was his proposal to actually withdraw from the jurisdiction of the Supreme Court. He may have a different view today, but withdraw from the jurisdiction of the Supreme Court even to hear civil rights cases. To say, in fact, if people are mistreated on the basis of civil rights, they have no recourse. They have no recourse at all. I happen to think that would be unconstitutional, and even Ted Olson, Solicitor General at the time, thought that proposal was too extreme. It went to the House in the 1980s and was voted down 389-24. Now, that's a pretty extremist proposal. The last thing that it mentioned in the Washington Post article that I have concerns about is that the only kind of civil rights violations that would be prosecuted were those where you prove intent. And I think it's clear that we've had lots of civil rights violations where they have a discriminatory effect, where intent's hard to prove. Probably the clearest example is literacy tests, where they use literacy tests to make people, to get people a right to vote. And it wasn't proven that it was done to keep out blacks, but that was largely what it was done. You know, this is a guy who didn't want to extend the Voting Rights Act in its full time in Ronald Reagan. Now, I know he's working for the Reagan administration. I'm fully prepared for that answer. But don't you think these are fair questions for Democrats to ask him if he still holds these views today?
Yes, I do. These are absolutely fair questions. The Bush administration was forthcoming and either in an attempt to be open or in an attempt to head off a battle or whatever their motivation was, it's not important. They dumped about 80,000 pages of the judge's documents into the public domain and said, okay, go ahead, start reading these. Let's base your questioning on this. Anything that was found in those documents, the Bush administration has essentially issued an invitation that this is a line of questioning that would be fair. I think that it will certainly give both the judge's his friends and his opponents much
fodder, if you will.
Much fodder for the cannon.
Yes, yes, Mike.
And we're going to find out how he answers them. But no, I'm not going to tell you that it's off limits because it's in limits.
You read the Washington Post article.
Yes,
today.
I did.
Okay. What are your views on the things that he supported back in the 80s?
Well,
the ones I mentioned.
Okay. First, let's look at the context on this. The Post article made it very clear that Judge Roberts, at the time, as a young special assistant to the Attorney General, I think they said he was 26 years old, he had graduated from law school at 24. He had just completed a two-year clerkship with Justice Rehnquist at the Supreme Court, and now he was out, I hate to say his first real job, because probably clerking for a Supreme Court justice would be defined as a real job.
Okay, but what about these issues?
He was caught up in the excitement of these things, and he was
youthful
advocating for...
Youthful exuberance. Is that what it was?
A lot of youthful exuberance. Interesting to me, Mark, the only thing that the Washington Post was able to quote, when they talked about some generalities and things like that, the things that you mentioned were not quotes. They're quotes from the article, but they weren't quotes from his writings. The only thing they were able to quote was a passage where they said that the new chairman of the Civil Rights Commission, after they dumped Arthur Fletcher and brought in a new guy,
Fleming,
right, he understood our points about how we don't want. And then they were able to quote, and I believe it was quotas and busing, unquote.
Fine, but Mike,
those are the only quotes.
Either Roberts has these views or he doesn't. All right,
right.
We will find out.
He may have had them back then.
He may have had them back then. Right. He may have changed now. We'll find out at the hearings.
Right.
How much of these views he still shares? Let me ask you this question hypothetically: if he stands behind these views, do you think they are extreme views, civil rights views, that a nominee for the Supreme Court? Do you agree with these views?
Well,
We can go through them. Men and women, should they have equal rights in prison to get training? Or do you think that you could say, no, we can't afford women. Women are too expensive.
Give me a specific example. I guess I'm going to say
give
no.
You a hypothetical.
I guess, give me a hypothetical.
Okay, I'll give you one. Let's say there's a job training program in a prison.
Right.
It's a job training program to be a plumber.
Okay.
And they offer it to the men. And to offer it to the women's cell, too, costs a bit more money. Do you think that a prison system is obligated to offer the same opportunities to women that they do to men? It seems to me what the article said is Roberts didn't think they had to spend the money. What do you think?
I think if there was, in that particular case, for a plumbing training program, if there's a woman prisoner who wants to take a plumbing training program, some sort of reasonable accommodation should be able to be made to handle that. On the other hand, I don't think that if only one woman in the entire prison, in a woman's prison, wants to be a plumber, I don't think you install a whole program in there. I think you find some way to take her out of the prison and have her take plumbing training someplace else.
We need to find the details about this.
Right.
The thing that actually most concerns me is the part where he wanted to take away jurisdiction from the United States Supreme Court. That, to me, is extreme. And if he still supports those views, I'm going to change my views on John Roberts. Let's take a break. 877-528-8255. We'll be right back.
Sweetheart, smoke outside now. You promised.
Okay, hon.
Sweetheart, smoke outside now. You promised.
What kind of man are you?
I'm a father.
Look here, my father was a father, and he smoked his brains out in the house.
Watch as he blows those smoke rings on my little red face.
You probably have asthma.
Asthma? Schlasma. I'm telling you, nothing's going to happen to your kids.
Don't swear when you're lying. You know very well that thousands of kids get bronchitis, ear infections, and even pneumonia from their parents' cigarette smoke. And didn't you promise your little angels you'd smoke outside?
Hey, Daddy.
Hi, Daddy.
Those little devils are just so sweet.
Do the right thing.
Please, smoke outside.
Until you can stop, go out for your kids.
Take the pledge. Call 1-800-513-1157.
It is more than a trial by fire.
It is a rite of passage. A challenge to join the elite. And if you succeed, if you can master your fear, outsmart your enemy, and never yield, even to yourself, you will be changed forever. The few, the proud, the Marines. From Washington, more of the Inside Scoop with Mark Levine.
Welcome back to the Inside Scoop. We only have a few minutes left. Before Congress went out for recess, they passed a whole bunch of bills, a highway bill, the Central American Free Trade Agreement. The most controversial, I think, was the energy bill, mostly because it was just a whole bunch of pork. You know, Republicans used to say they were trying to cut government spending, but this Republican Congress has done lots of pork. But that's not the issue I want to talk about in the last few minutes. I want to talk about another bill that the Senate passed. It's a bill to protect gun manufacturers from lawsuits, even if they're negligent. For example, there's a case, it was out of Worcester, Massachusetts, where the gun manufacturer sold a gun without a serial number. Now, they're required to put serial numbers on the guns. It was sold without a serial number. Some criminal used it and killed someone and could not be traced because of it. The family sued, and that's a case that they think the family would have won but will now not be allowed under this lawsuit. Other examples, the snipers, the horrible snipers who attacked people in the Washington, D.C. metropolitan area, got their guns. They were stolen. 200 guns were stolen from this gun manufacturer who didn't keep good records, didn't even know the guns were stolen, didn't report it to the police, and those guns found the way in their hands, some really vicious people. Look, I will be the first to tell you the criminals are most to blame. But don't you think the gun manufacturers also share some of the blame? Let me just give you one quick example, then I'll give you the rest of the time. If you are a bar owner and you serve somebody too many drinks, and you serve him and you serve him, and he gets in a car and he kills someone, you, the bar owner, can be held negligent, legally liable for continuing to serve this guy. If you negligently get somebody a gun, shouldn't that at least be as protected against as negligently giving someone alcohol?
If you negligently give someone a gun who should not have a gun, I believe, yes, you should be responsible for that. None of the examples that you just cited were a situation like that, an equivalent of a bartender sitting there enabling a customer to get soused. It's not like there was a criminal who came back night after night after night and was taking gun after gun after gun out of a manufacturer's factory.
Well, he had 200 guns he couldn't account for. Now, don't you, right. I mean, that's clearly negligence. I mean, he should know that 200 guns, including some very high-powered rifles, were stolen, shouldn't he? And shouldn't he report that to police? How do we police that without lawsuits?
When you find out that there is a theft involving one or more guns, yes, you ought to report that to the police.
And if you don't, and someone gets killed with one of those guns, no responsibility whatsoever? That's what happened with the snipers in Washington, D.C.
I'm not saying there's no responsibility in that area, but that wasn't the main focus of what the gun bill was all about. What the gun bill was all about, the liability, was to protect the average, the typical gun manufacturer who has a weapon that was clearly misused against the intent of the manufacturer, against everything. It was clearly misused to be used in a crime and kill someone. And the main intent was to protect the manufacturer against frivolous lawsuits
case.
But,
Mike, we have juries. They can decide what's reasonable and what's not reasonable.
Juries you frequently go unreasonable.
Well, then have an appeal. Have a law. But don't give this blanket.
Well, that's what we have. We have a law now.
No, but the law is blanket protection. It doesn't matter. You sell cop killer bullets to children? No big deal. Blanket liability. It seems to me that the gun manufacturers, just like every other manufacturer of a dangerous product, could be held liable. If you sell a car without seatbelts, you could be held liable. Sell a gun without a serial number, you should be held liable as well.
But this was the equivalent of a car manufacturer selling a car to somebody, and I misuse it, I speed, and I hit you, and I kill you, and you're going to sue the car manufacturer? It doesn't wash.
Well, we'll disagree on that. Thank you for joining in on the Inside Scoop. I do want to invite you, radio listeners, to join in all this week. We've got a number of terrific shows, and encourage you also that you can help determine what show I'm going to do. We will be focusing on an energy bill. We can focus on really anything. If you just want to call in, write in on the blog, www.radioinsidescoop.com. Your voice will be heard. I try to do all kinds of things. You know, now Congress is in recess. So we're going to move a little bit away from Congress and try to focus on other things going on in the administration and around the world. But that's it for today. Tune in tomorrow, 7 p.m. Eastern Time. This is Mark Levine signing off.
Born.
We are off.
All right.
Cool.
Yeah.
Yeah, actually,
you like that one?
Tell us about the.
There's a lot of issues here that I can tell, A, you've never been in prison because. And I don't mean that as a joke. Because I collect.
I'm going to confess, I've never been in prison.
Yeah. Well, my son's favorite line used to be, my mom's in jail. One of the things you need to understand, and I collect magazines, which they just had an article in the paper about what I do, but the magazine thing. The point here is, every process in the jail requires waiting. There's nothing, you can't go from point A to point B. So when you said maybe if there's a woman who's interested in plumbing, she should go into it, that would be a very difficult physical problem for the jail. Because
yes,
of the way people move in jails.
Because of the security nature of the jail.
Because the cell blocks are basically male or female. There is no joint cell block.